From the front lines.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Chris.
Man, you know, that's my drum beat every week. Every week, that's my beat, man. That's that New York Giants bleed blue to your turn blue. that's that beat. Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Bleed Blue Roundtable. Once again, Steve's on a vacation. Now, this is your boy, Professor, right here. We're going to talk again. Hey, this is our weekly blue session about our team. This topic this week is going to be offensive line. We're going to go into that. I want to remind everybody who is listening, man, that our number is 929-477-4171, 929-477-4171. Call in and just chime in about what's going on with you and what you think about whatever question we ask tonight or every night. On that note, by the way, we also cover the Yankees, the Rangers. Yankees will be coming. You'll just watch out for the website, bleedblueshow.com. On the exact shows that we got coming up, because this is going to be an exciting season for the Pinstripes as well. Ranger Proud and the New York Rangers show is every Tuesday evening, approximately 8 o'clock. We'll just say that, maybe even later if there's a game. And, of course, the New York Knickerbockers is on Wednesday evenings as well. The Knickerbocker Ave Fan Forum, we call it. Oh man, yesterday's show was unbelievable with that one. That was that really sounded like a therapy session between a bunch of Bowery guys. There's, where I'm from in New York, man, there's an area called the Boweries where there's a whole bunch of bums out there ready to wipe your windshields and if for a nickel or whatever. But if you pay close attention and listen to the vernacular, you realize these are failed stock market brokers, lawyers, and all of these guys. So that's what it sounded like yesterday, like it was the Bowery. But you know what? Hey, we still got our bleed blue Giants here, and they're not, they're not apropos right now as they should be, but they're making strides. And this is the team that we choose to have our real therapy sessions on every Thursday night, like we got one tonight. And again, it's the offensive line we're going to talk about, man. Remember to check us out. If you can't call in, just check us out right now on the social networks, which is Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Try bleedblueshow.com, and you'll find us everywhere. Oh man! So right now we got Jason, the definition of lit, and my man Frank are both on the line right now, man. What's up, fellas?
What's up, Chris? What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Hey, it's our therapy session, weekly therapy session. Don't you remember? You have a therapy session tonight about that blue blood that you got inside of you.
Yes. You got that right. I got someone who wants to say hi, Chris.
Oh, let's do that. Hey, Diane. Oh, she's the greatest.
How are you?
Hello, dear. Hey, life is good now because I hear your voice. Forget about that other guy.
Oh.
I hear your voice. That's what matters.
And I hear yours.
Thank you very much, baby. Thank you for tuning in. Hey, this is what we do. Thank you. Oh, man. Frank, my man. Clear that noise down, Frank, so we have to hear all that that background stuff. But, Jason, Lick, where you at?
Yes. Yeah, I'm here. I'm right here. I'm a little pissed off that Azul's not with us. I'm mad Azul's not here.
Azul will be
bullshit.
Back. Azul will be back.
Man,
don't worry about him.
I wanted him for question and answer session, especially over today's topic. This is like one of my two favorite topics to talk about. This in many,
oh,
many
no,
years.
Oh no, he brought his notes. He left his notes, and I can't wait till you hear them. I think they're designated for you. But no, we're gonna go over that in just a minute. Let me get Christiane on here. Hold on. Hello, my dear.
Hey, Chris. Good evening, everybody.
Hey. Offensive line night. You ready?
I think so.
You know what? None of us are ready. But thanks for lying.
As ready as Valentine's Day. That's it.
There you go. How was everybody Valentine's Day? Do you guys do that or what? What's going on? Do you care or do you have it? Does it light up? Okay, nothing. I'm getting nothing on the other end, so I guess. Okay, maybe this wasn't apropos. We've got to stay with the offensive line. This wasn't a good day. Oh, man. But I know, hey, I just heard from my girl Diane, so I know she had a good day, so everything's cool. Anyway, you guys are nuts. 929-477-4171. 929-477-4171. Guest call in. Here's your boy, the professor, right here. We're talking offensive line, ladies and gentlemen, and let me just set this up for you because I know I can almost look through the phone and I see Jason, the definition of lit, just chomping at the bit right now. But let me just set it up for everybody that's just either just tuning in or just don't have an opinion yet. This is how this works. All right, so the season we just came off, right, the 2018 season, the Giants' offensive line was the 21st ranked offensive line in the NFL. Okay, according to whom, you know, the experts. Okay, which is actually is a little bit better than I thought they were, as far as ranking. It's actually better than I thought they were. But one thing that I did know was that they allowed 47 sacks, and that's tied with the Tennessee Titans for 23rd in the NFL. And those 47 sacks now, okay, and hold your thoughts because I know you want to chime in here, but let me say this part. Those 47 sacks were also the most in one season that 38-year-old Eli Manning has had to take in his long and storied 15-year blue career. Okay?
Yeah.
Now let me tell you, there's a lot of – and you guys saw every game last year. You had numerous, you know, offensive line rotations and groupings and lineups and all of this nonsense. And, see, the big thing about – an offensive line, and particularly historically with this particular team, okay, is its chemistry and the ability to work with one another, okay, the cohesion that you build. So when guys are switching in and out of starting lineup, man, you know, it tends to make things a little bit more difficult on the line as a whole. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to go ahead and we're going to – I want you guys take on exactly – how they gelled together as a unit, and how they performed individually. Okay, that's very important. That's what I want to – because, see, we're not over yet. You know darn well that our general manager is going to address this in this offseason coming up officially, and he'll have a few things to say, so that's always good. You know, but as it looks right now with the aptitude that everybody on the line has, you know how you guys are, man. You guys are very, very cerebral when it comes to, you know, just X's and O's, you know, and lineups and abilities and scouting. You guys got your own little inner circle here, and it's best that every fan hear it from you guys, what your take is, and then they can use that going forward. From here on in, you know, to, you know, whatever it is, mini camp, the draft, or whatever, however you want to apply it. So we're going to do it that way. So that's what we're talking about tonight, the offensive line. Bakes is just called in. I think he's on the line. What's up, Chief?
What's going on, family?
Hollis in the house. What's up, dude?
Yeah, man, everything is great, man. It's good to be back on. My stakeholders, my frontliners, you know. Ready to chop it up, man. Good with you.
They're here. Yeah, they're here, man. And this is what we got to go through this. We got to go through this because we got to look. Hey, man, when you've been invited to somebody's crib, whether it be Spades, Big Bus, or whatever, you know, you want to make sure when you walk in, you do not want a shitty hand. So this is we're going to talk about the hand we got so far and what's probably going to happen from here on in before we sit at this table with this cognac. I hope I'm speaking your language. 929-477-4171. We're going to go around like Jason, Frank, Christiane, and then you, the big brother, Hollis, my man. And we're going to – this is how I want to set this up. Tell me what I'm going to – tell me what you thought how they performed as a unit in your eyes, and then individually break them down, and I hope you're along with that. You'll see that in a second. Again, everybody, check us out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, BleedBlueShow.com. You're listening to the Bleed Blue Roundtable, and this is the offensive line we're talking about. Jason! All right, bro.
Yo.
Offensive line. Take it from there, all and right. I'll guide you through the individuals.
All right. So really quickly, Chris, this offensive line is a two-part series. You have the 8 games pre-bye. You have the 8 games post-bye. It was like night and day. The first eight games, our offensive line played like it was a joke. It was a put-together mishmash of pedestrian, if that, offensive linemen. There was a reach. There was multiple reaches. The reaches for Omema. There was pretty much the reach for Nate Soldier. There was the handling of Eric Flowers. But that was the first 8 games. There's really nothing to maybe say anything that was glorious out of the first eight games. Now, post
at Flowers.
That whole situation was handled terribly. Let's talk about the positive here. After they got Jamon Brown, after the bye week, it was like night and day. They gave protection. They gave run blocking, or they were able to run block. They were able to do what they wanted to do at certain times. I was very impressed with the gelling and the cohesiveness of the offensive line after the bye week. Nobody can say after the bye week, and they still do, Chris, we have a shitty offensive line. And I will give you 4 categories that our offensive line did very, very well. We did not allow a lot of hurries, pushbacks, sacks, and also batted balls. Do you know who actually had what lines actually had higher than ours? Seattle was ahead of us in all those 4 categories. We also had the Arizona Cardinals. Those are what you consider garbage right there. If people were to say our line is garbage, they need to watch the Seahawks. They need to watch the Cardinals. So what I'm saying is going forward, maybe a tweak here and there, we have a very solid offensive line that was put together. Now, I don't know why. Maybe Frank, maybe Christian, maybe Bakes can let me know something that I don't know. But our offensive line, I think, was very NFL suitable for a legitimate quarterback.
Yes. Well, okay. Don't go there yet, Jason. We got a whole show about the quarterback situation. I know where you're going, but let's slow up on that one. Stay with the line.
All right.
Stay with the line. Please. Please.
But the point is, though, it's like, look, a lot of people have been harping, on the entire offensive line the whole season, and that's not very fair. The first 8 games were garbage. The second 8 games, look at our record. Look what we were able to do. It was a very, very solid line. And we may even be getting a quality center back. So to say that we need to continue to overhaul or we need to do this, it's actually very formidable. One position player might be very decent to achieve what we want to achieve.
Okay, so let me ask you this. One last question. What kind of D? I mean D. What kind of grade would you give this offensive line overall?
Chris, that's really not a fair question. I mean, it's got to be the first 8 games.
On each side of the ball, on each half. Can you give it on each half? On each half?
The first 8, I'm giving a straight up D, a D. And the second, the back 8, probably a B-. I go B- with that line.
Okay, when you break all that down, that's a C+, man. C- maybe, but that's cool. I like it. I like that feedback. All right, stand by because I'm coming right back to you. Frank, stay right there, man. 929-477-4171, Bleed Blue Roundtable, offensive line. We talking, Frank. Give me your synopsis, man, on what you saw last year on the offensive line.
I mean, I got to agree a lot with Jason. I mean, that's true. I mean, not a big topic here talking about the offensive line. Mm-hmm. The key is same thing talking about last week, and I didn't say anything as I wanted to hear what everybody said, so I was just listening. But talking about the offensive line and defensive line, the question you ask yourself with both of these subjects, right, and we can stay on this one since this one we're on, who do you build off of? Who is worth the crap to build off of this offensive line? So do you say Nate Solder because he's got Super Bowl rings and he's got probably the most experience on the line? Do you build off of somebody that had that weak side and was getting destroyed because he came over for money? Opinion. Who do you build off of on the defense as well? And I know that was last week, and I had my shot, but I didn't want to. I just wanted to listen.
Okay.
My point is you have a decent offensive line the first eight, second week, second half, but how are you going to build this offensive line up? Where are you going to start? You're going to start in the middle? You're going to start on the end? You're going to start in the – you know, where are you starting with them? Who are you building off of? My thing is I believe a lot of it has to do, and I'm glad Shermer's done some of it already, has changed some of this coaching stuff around. I think a lot of our stuff is still coaching. I don't think it's all player. And Steve touched on that last week about, you know, these players are saying, you guys all did, second, third round picks that you're getting. I mean, you can only coach so much, but you've got to make the best of what you've got to play with. You know what I mean? So where do you build off of? Where do you start? The complete overhaul that Steve didn't agree with last week that Jason said or somebody said is I don't agree with Steve at all. We do need a full overhaul of this team. So starting with offense, starting with defense, starting everywhere. I mean, that's my opinion on it. So I would give – they did do very well after the first after the bye week. The first half was terrible. Flowers got out. So I agree with Jason. I mean, I don't see how you can't. So that's where I stand.
Gotcha. Same grade. So you first half a D, second half a what?
I would say D, period. I'd say a D all the way around.
Solid D? Gotcha. All right. That's Frank, everyone. Christian, your turn. You're up.
Yeah, I think I agree with everybody tonight. You know, we do need a leader to build off of, and right now we don't have a strong enough entity. Who are we gonna call our lead offensive line guy? We don't have anybody. There is nobody to really take charge. There's nobody. I think I said this too last week. There's nobody that really stands out for me that wows me and says, wow, this is the guy that's going to do it for us. This is the guy that's going to take charge. This is the man that's going to lead us. And we just don't have it. It's a mishmash of a little bit of everything. And unless everybody knows their position and is comfortable with their position and knows their position and is passionate about it, that's how we're going to mesh. Everybody has to mesh. And we're not even close to that right now. Especially with the draft looming and everything like that, I don't think nothing's really set in stone yet. So everybody's kind of everywhere right now. There's nobody we can honestly say that's our leader, that's going to lead us to, you know, victory. Right. And to, you know, help
that's
Eli in the O-line. I mean, there is no one. The closest thing, I mean, I can't even call it.
Good. Well, hold on.
There's
to that
not
thought,
a strong enough entity. There's nobody in my mind that really stands out and says, "Yeah, that's the one that's gonna, you know, do it for us."
That's good. That's good because you're gonna break down when you come back around. This is what we're gonna do after Bakes. We're gonna break down every player that performed for us last year, and then you'll really get and everyone will get the insight from there. Okay, stand by, Chris. 929-477-4171. Bakes. Chime in, sir.
So for me, I look at it from a different perspective, more than just the offensive line performance. I think the New York Giants offense and the New York Giants as a whole lack one key thing. We don't have an identity. And when you don't have an identity, you don't have something to work for, too. Are we a running team? Are we a passing team? Are we a hurry-up offense team?
Are we a West Coast offense team? We don't ever have that identity. So you can't mimic a style when you don't have no identity. And I think that's why we don't play to a certain style. We run an offense, but we don't have a style. We don't have a guy in there that's bruisers, a guy that's going to, you know, start to say, step on some guy's face or his hand or something, you know, push him in the back after the play. They don't have those kind of real get after it guy. Combination of some other things too. Coaching staff. Lack of being in sync. All the injuries you've had over the past 2 years and then drafting the wrong player or getting the wrong player from free agency and injuries. So it's been like a perfect storm of everything in that offensive line. And since, you know, since the last Super Bowl, we haven't had that line in sync, and then we waited too long to fix the problem. And now I've been trying to patch it up piecemeal, and I disagree. If we do another overhaul, we're going to be right back where we started because we're not going to be in sync again. And that's a huge part is those guys playing together consecutively, practicing together consecutively, getting a rhythm. That's important too. Like the best thing that happened to the line was Jamon Brown. When he got on, the line kind of changed. It got solidified because we had some weak links on the right side. The GM identified it and got rid of them. And, you know, one player stepped up and we replaced another one. And that was important. So I think we're closer. We get our center back from injury. If he's healthy, I think Hernandez will have another season under his belt. And Solder is going to be Solder.
Right.
But I think the identity we need to have is a running style. We need to run and play action. That's when Eli was the most effective. But we'll talk about that down the road.
All right, that's Steph Bakes and hey, you know, chiming in with that knowledge like he does. Holler style, 929-477-4171. Big O has joined the line. Big O, I know you heard everybody. Peace and blessings, sir. Hey,
peace and blessings. Change
we're talking offense. Hey, well, let me tell you, we're talking with. Oh, and Bakes, I need your grade on it, man. Give me a grade.
C minus.
Done. Big O, we're talking offensive line. I need you to just give me a quick synopsis of what you think of it, then, because we get ready after you finish. We're gonna break down all the players. Well, you know the tackles and guards and center, and we're getting ready to do that. But I just want your take on overall what you saw and what kind of grade would you give the 2018 offensive line for the Giants?
Well, you know, 2018 they started off, you know, bad. There was a few pieces that was, you know, we knew for a couple of years that wasn't good. You know, they still was trying to make things happen and make it work, and they had to, you know, learn the hard way that it didn't work. Second half of the season, man, we added Jamon Brown. They started gelling together, and you got to understand, too, a new playbook. In 3 years, the Giants have flipped over some different playbooks, man. So it is hard to gel and get in sync. When you're flipping playbooks, man, and you're flipping coaching staffs and things are being changed up almost every year. So that played a big, big, big part of their offensive line rhythm. Once they got together, once they started understanding the playbook, you started seeing a little change. The holes were opening up. I saw times, you know, when the running back was making wrong decisions as well, too. So I really broke down. I really focused on that O-line the second half. They wasn't bad, man. They do what O-line's supposed to do. You can't be perfect as an O-line. And your O-line is only good as your quarterback play as well, too. So if your quarterback is not moving around, helping situations, and just standing in the same spot, of course the defense is going to tee off and bull rush your offensive line and make them look like trash. It's not easy when your quarterback is a statue. I'm not just trying to, you know, come at Eli. I'm just saying. You got to be able to help your offensive line out. You got to have rhythm, just like Bakes was saying. You got to have some kind of style or some kind of rhythm. You're supposed to know each other. Eli's style of football is he's a pocket passer, play action football. But you know, when teams come in there and say they're going to shut that down, you got to be able to create, like Steve Young said. You got to be able to create with your O-line. So that O-line is, to me, you give them – they're going to come back this year with addition of Jalapio coming back off an injury because he was greater. He was being greater when he was there. He was one of our best offensive linemen before he went down. Yeah. So with him coming back, Joman Brown is a no-brainer. They will re-sign him. You know, Willie held it for a little bit. I do think we're going to get another. We should get a right tackle. Hernandez is going to be a second year, and you like you said, Soldiers is going to be Soldiers. So 2 years under that, man, they're going to be solid. They're going to be super solid, man. You add a couple of pieces on there, and they're going to be super solid. So I can't. I'm not going to. I'm tired of hearing people saying O line. It takes time, and they're going to get there. So. We don't have a major O-line problem like we did. I don't see that. I think we have a few more pieces and we'll be all right, man. It's just they need the time. And you get it like Bake said, once they get together, work together, stay together, it's going to look different, man. And if you ask me, I grade them the first half, they were straight F. No lie. But second half, man, I can say now they're about a C+ to me. And they're knocking to them Bs in a little bit in the beginning of the season.
I'm going to give them D on each side, Big O. And what we're going to do is I'm going to do it backwards, man. By the way, Steve gave him an offensive line, an overall D as a unit. I'm going to do it backwards. I want to grade the centers. Then I want to go to guards. Then I want to go to tackles. All right? So what we have for centers, you guys know that I can never say this guy's name, Jalapio. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Jalapio.
Our starting guy? Yep. Jalapio was right now he's the de facto starter for us. And behind him is Spencer Pulley and Evan Brown. I don't know what really much to say to him. I didn't trust him at first because I knew he bounced around not only different teams, but he had different leagues, man. I had never heard of the Brooklyn Bolts, you know? But they signed him to the practice squad. He was on a practice squad for 2 years. And once he got added to the 53-man roster, you know, he played about 10 games for us. I didn't see anything special. But last year, he kind of showed out, man. He was real stout, real strong. He doesn't have really great athleticism, but he played this position. He held his own, and he did very, very well under the circumstances. So, yeah, he goes into that D grade as well. Pulley, you know, him and Evan Brown filled in, and I'm going to just leave it at that with those guys. Okay, 929-477-4171. To the top and back through again. Jason, give me a grade on your give me an outlook and quick grade on your centers, man.
Centers, all around C-, D+. Very inconclusive. You might even want to throw in John Greco in there. He was a journeyman lineman.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you throw him in there too. I mean, there really wasn't anything substantial.
Real quick on
Jalapio, you mentioned de facto. I think that might be a little bit too premature. Because of his injury, they got to bring someone in to challenge him to see if he really is the right man for the job. Or if he gets beat out, he gets beat out. Best man wins.
Right. I'm with that. Thanks, Jay. I'm with that. I'm right there. Frank, your take.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Exactly. I mean, you know, I just agree with that. Totally. That's, you know, there's not much here you can really take away from a lot of what everybody's saying. It's pretty much the same thing. Everybody sees the same vision. You might have different opinions on different things, but I see the same thing. So.
Okay. Kristen, you too?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I do like Brown. He has potential. Will Hernandez, I like. Soldier.
No, babe. Just the centers. The centers. So that would mean Jalapio, and I really didn't see much of Pulley and I forgot the other guys.
It's the same all the way around. I feel like a broken record.
It's
we
the same
haven't
all
seen
the way
enough
around, probably.
To really judge it. You know, I haven't really seen a lot to go on.
So let's go with inconclusive. Let's go with inconclusive on that one.
Absolutely, yeah, inconclusive, definitely.
Okay. And, Banks, you looking at that the same way or no?
Yeah, pretty much. Only thing I can say is the guy that got injured,
I'd like to see some more of him, but I don't want any de facto starters on any positions where there's average to subpar play. It's got to be competitive. Should be a handful of people on the New York Football Giants that got a de facto starting job. There's about three people.
Yeah, like Pulley and Evan Brown and Greco. Those were totally big old. Those were totally inconclusive grades, man. I mean, they were there, and that's all I saw. That they were there. They were there. You know, I have Steve here. He said something about Pulley held it down. Was a decent as a backup, kept the ship afloat. I didn't see anything that wowed me. What'd you take out of that, Big O? I mean, center position.
Well, yeah, we're on the centers. Spencer Pulley, he came in there and held it down. You know, next man up.
That's
you
it.
Come in there, you're supposed to do your job.
Right.
What do people really look at linemen like that during the game? No. They're linemen. They're offensive linemen. They're there to put the wall. But there's only detailed people that just really, you know, focus on stuff like that. I'm telling you, Jalapio will be our starter next year. Guarantee it. It's just something about them guys all around the league. They're warriors, man. He had an injury. He would have been a starter all the way to the end if he didn't get hurt. Watch what I tell you. I called it last year when they got this dude. I told Jet and them, this dude will be a starter for us. Mark my words. And he became our starting center. He went down. I watched this dude. I follow him. He's ahead of schedule. This dude will come in and start again. But to grade for last year on those centers, yeah, I got to give it a C-, you know, because it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
There's always something shifting around. Something was always wrong,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it was hard. So, but I can truly say, man, I really think Jalapio will be thing. I guarantee it, man. He'll be our starter next year.
Okay. I hope he's healthy too, man. I hope he's healthy,
yep.
man. He had, because what did he do? He had the ankle and a lower leg broke,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yep.
I mean, this man is
ahead of schedule,
hey.
Man. He's I'm talking
okay.
about Cadillacs after Cadillac. He's squad madness. Just go follow him, man. He's super ahead of schedule.
Okay. All right. 929-477-4171. That was Big O. All right. Now we're going to talk about, we're going to go back to this again. Now we're going to go back to the guards. Now, the Giants depth chart list, Will Hernandez, Jabon Brown, John Greco, Nick Gates, and Chad Slade as our offensive guards at this point. At this point. Okay, so let's go ahead wait a minute. Just where are we at? Hold on, I missed something. Oh, no. They released all my man. Thank you. Goodness. Okay, that's another story. But offensive guards, we're talking here, y'all. Let me do this real quick. Let me just put my two cents in what I saw. On the right guard side, Jabon Brown, if we're going to be honest, he was inconsistent, but he wasn't a bust or nothing like that. I'm not dogging him out. You know, he had, 19 pressures and 3 sacks. So that's no horrible numbers. They ain't great, but he was an upgrade from what we did have. Okay, and I'm gonna be nice about it by saying that. On the left side, I loved Will Hernandez. He came in and did everything that the Giants could have asked him to do. He looked like the hog molly we were promised to get before the season, and he also was reminiscent of the great Giants centers. I mean, on guards rather. He was a starting left guard since day one. He was the dude. He played every single offensive snap. He's a beast. It got to the point in the second half of the season, as Jason had alluded to earlier. All of you did, where they had to work. Opposing teams had to work around him because they figured it out quickly. We got a monster here. So I loved it. I'm just gonna say that much about him because I like when y'all talk. It's not about me on the show. Y'all always say that. Steve's thing was they gave him a C. He gave him a C. Some flashes as a good pull, looked strong on counters and pulls. As expected, his pass blocking was weak. Got pushed back and against average defensive tackles, but I expect to improve. I'm like the same way. Big O, you just basically said that, you know, and so did you, Bakes. Hey, that was their trial by fire last year, and this year they're going. I expect them to all step up. So, what do you think, Jason? We're talking about offensive guards right now.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll just make this really quick. As far as my grade for the guards, C+. I like the Will Hernandez pick. That to me was the best pick the Giants made of the draft. That's going to be your 10-year guy, Ring of Honor guy.
Yep.
So, I mean, he did have his growing pains, a few penalties, a few holds, but for a rookie, he played solid. I did happen to notice, though, and I don't know if you really noticed this too, but he had to give help to Nate Soldier a lot. He came along. He actually knew when to give
help
in the chip. So,
he did.
So he's a very smart, intelligent rookie. So I want to give him mad props on that. Jamon Brown, he was penalty prone. Good guy. I know that. I think it was Frank or was it Bakes that said, hey, new team, new playbook. I get that. But he was penalty prone with false starts and holds. That was my only downside to Jamon Brown. He had excessive penalties that I felt were unnecessary. The other guys you mentioned, journeyman,
Greco,
pedestrian.
Gate. Yeah.
Yeah, they were just like fill-in Band-Aids, inconclusive all the way around. That's it on that position. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the definition of lit right there. Frank, you up, bro?
Yeah, man, definitely talking about that offensive line earlier when I said that, I guess the build-around would be probably on the guards, talking about the anchor for that would probably be Hernandez, the way he played as a rookie. That kid's stout. He's got it for sure. He's that gritty type, wanting to fight all the time like Sue.
Yep.
I like him. He played very well. For a rookie, for what he did, I would give the guards, you know, probably a C+. Definitely did a decent job on the guard part.
Okay, fair enough. Kristen, you're up.
I love what Lit said. I love everything that Lit said. Will Hernandez is crazy. He did his job. He's a big body guy. Everything he said, he was perfect. I give Will Hernandez, honestly, I give him a B.
Yep.
Nick Gates, inconclusive right now.
Gotcha. Fair enough. Bakes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, offensive guards.
Listen, I give him a B-. And we know Hernandez is a dog. That's why we got him. He struggled at times a little bit. And, yeah, he did dedicate some time to the shoulder. I think, like I said, there's room for improvement his first year.
Right.
And I think he's trending up. So, I can say he was a lot better than when Flowers came in. Which he was always trending down, but it's not the same position. As a first rounder, he's trending up and playing towards that talent level. So I like that about him. Like I said, I think the line is not that far off. The guard, right guard, but I think on the left side, I think we're going to be okay.
Okay, done. Big O, want to add to that?
Yeah, guards. You asked me, Joman Brown was an upgrade from what we had. Jamon Brown was an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
The inconsistency a definition of Lit was talking about with the false starts and the holdings, over anxious. This man came in, had to learn a playbook fast, trying to get a lot of things going. He, this dude is solid. He was missed at the Rams. If you watch that Super Bowl, he was very missed.
That's right.
He posted a tweet.
Right.
before that game and said they will miss me. They will miss you when you're gone. And it'd be, I'd be damned.
Right.
I watched them guards that game. They could not handle that D-line for nothing. So, yes, he was missed, and they lost a big piece when they let him go, and I'm kind of glad we got him. Will Hernandez, I don't even got to speak for him. I knew he was a stud when he was coming in. We actually prayed this man to this team. I was praying to God that on our second round we could snatch this dude. I'm telling you, man, and it happened. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. We got two players that we wanted, Saquon and Will Hernandez, and those two guys fell on our team. So we could say it was Christmas last year. You know, you asked me, I grade those guys. They'll get a B-. They just because the team hasn't, the line hasn't gelled yet. But you keep those guys on this team second year, I guarantee you, man, they're gonna be opening up big holes, man, big holes. So yeah, I'm liking those
grade.
Guys. I do think though that Dave Gettleman kind of jumped the gun a little bit. He should have kept Fluka and Jones on this team, man. I think we'd have had a more solid line and more depth to this team, man. I really think he shouldn't have let those guys go.
That's what's up, Big O. That's what should have happened. We would have been solid all year.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, we probably would have. We should have.
He jumped the gun on that. I know he wanted to wash his hand with a lot of Reese stuff, but he should have kind of pumped the brakes on that a little bit.
Yeah, he should have thought it through.
He should have thought of that through before he traded and didn't re-sign Fluker. They both had pretty good years. And look what we have.
Yep.
That's true.
Good point, Big O. Great point, man. Great point.
Yeah, that's a good point because, you know, I can never say this guy's name, and I'm glad I don't have to. Amema, or whatever his name was.
Whatever.
Omame, trash.
Oh,
come on.
Him and Flowers, man, stunk up. The first
trash.
Half that you're talking about, Jason.
Big O said trash.
That
like baked chicken trash, bro.
Hurt me.
Trash.
They hurt me. Just
watching
them.
I knew Flowers was trash after his second year. Man, come on, man. If you get drafted first round lineman and after your second year, you can't get your third year. You're not a stud, dude. Come on, man. You failed, man. And Reese got to know that was bad, man. I really didn't see it like that in Miami. I don't know why we got this dude. But carry on.
Okay,
man.
So Steve writes. Steve chimes in. He says, Omemaha. I'm sorry. I don't care about his name anymore. He's not here. He should have had more of the blame for the offensive line roles. Woes for the first 6 weeks. He gave him an F. Flowers, D-, had key blocks like week one against the Jags, but his issue continued to be technique.
With what?
Speed
his feet?
Rushes and too many,
with his feet?
And too many penalty flags that killed drive. Exactly. So that's the end of that. They're done.
With his feet, dude?
No, they're history, man. I don't care. They're done. Okay, I'm not talking about that.
Locks my ass.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay, so so listen, the depth chart has this, and this is what I wanted to get to. Finally, we're going to get to the part I want to hear. Okay, so on the offensive tackle roster, there is Nate Solder, Chad Wheeler, Brian Mihalik, Victor Solanco, and Jalen Ware. I don't even know the last three guys. Anyway, one thing I do know, let me just do my little chime in. I have to say this part about the left tackle position. Okay, you gave a guy $62 million last offseason. It made him the highest paid offensive lineman in the entire league, and he had never even been in the Pro Bowl yet. Now, if you're going to make this, and I'm kind of doing a linear conversation here, referring to the Antonio Browns and everybody of the league. Okay, if you're going to make someone the highest paid at their position, you have to make sure that they're going to perform like they're the highest paid. Okay, I'm just going to say that from the Giants' perspective.
Thank you.
And to say the least, Soldier did not perform that way most of the time. Okay, now you guys just talked about that first half.
Overrated.
I got the stat right here. That first half. Let me tell you this. Lord. Let me say this, Christian. Hold up. Wait. The first half, he allowed 6 sacks and 20 total pressures on Eli. And let me tell you something, that's not good for a guy to get paid that much. Okay? Now everybody was like, oh well, you know, that was an upgrade from Flowers. Dude, that's not an upgrade at all.
No,
that's not saying much about anything.
No.
So when you, when you play every offensive snap, hold up, when you play every offensive snap for the New York Football Giants, that's a plus normally, right? This dude did not plus me. I didn't like it. Anyway, let me go on to the chat. Wheeler, dude, he allowed 45 pressures and 6 sacks in the first half. Okay, and all of this time, every time you saw, when you came onto the show, you saw the social media and all that, all you saw was Eli's a bum, Eli's a bum, Eli's a bum. Okay, but nobody talked about this. Okay, so this is what these shows are for. So that's what we're going to talk about right now. 929-477-4171. This is the offensive line show. For the big blue round, I can't even talk. That's all, folks. Big blue round table. Check us out on our social media with Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and bleedblueshow.com. Jason, you are up, and I just want to say this. I can't wait to hear what Bakes got to say. Jason, you are up first.
The whole Nate Soldier, I believe, was a reach. The guy played in a cupcake division, the AFC East. No accolades, no Pro Bowl, no lineman awards, no nothing. We have him. Okay, it is what it is. He was absolute trash, garbage, couldn't move. I don't know who it was. I think it was Big O, but he looked like a statue out there, almost like Eli Manning, but dwarfed Eli Manning. It was really pathetic, and it was very troublesome to see Eli's blind side being protected by Nate Soldier. Now, what I did notice, and I did give this awesome compliment, and I think a few other, I think Christiane or maybe it was Frank, I really do feel that if it wasn't for Will Hernandez, Nate Soldier would be on an island all by himself. This dude's making, what, $17 million a year, and he's asking for help? Defenses were lining up on that side knowing they were going to kill Nate Soldier, spin him around in the dirty laundry, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
But if it wasn't for Will Hernandez understanding the game, the weaknesses, the deficiencies, man, Soldier would have been a lot worse. So what made Soldier really good, like I said before, was Will Hernandez coming over with that chip. Maybe Saquon Barkley helped on that side. But, man, Nate Soldier needed help at least 60% of this year with help containing or a chip or something. It was bad, dude. It was bad.
And Chad Wheeler.
The other one.
Give me Chad Wheeler.
You know, Chad Wheeler, he just did his job as best as he could. He platooned. Those other players you mentioned, I don't really know how they were on the depth chart, but it was a very platoon by committee. I really felt bad for that left side. It was very handicapped from the get-go.
I want to say this before Frank talks. Steve texted in. He says, Soldier, overpaid, hoodwinked, little to no accord as line leader and communicator with the quarterback and offensive play calling, lacks sustainable blocking in many games before the bye week. And what's the other one? And Wheeler, D minus, he was a notch or two improvement over Flowers. Serviceable, but he needs to be upgraded. Just wanted to say that. Plug in for the Bleed Blue Show. All right. And okay, hey, Jason, I can't wait to hear your final thought, bro. Frank, you're up.
Yeah, I thought when we were going to get Soldier, we were going to get something really special, obviously, being coming from New England. But
yeah, we got something
obviously
special.
Obviously not.
Right.
Yeah, we
yeah,
got
right.
something special. He's a piece of work. I mean, you got to ask yourself, why did this guy leave New England, right? Could have won another
mm-hmm.
Super Bowl after said all and done. So,
money.
Of course, it was money. You know, I don't know. I just think that was a bad pick. Maybe we can get rid of him, get something else in there. I don't know. He's not worth it to me. And Wheeler played hard, I thought. Trying to make it, pushed in where he needed to be, and I think he played hard. So, I give those guys like a C minus.
Okay, fair enough. That's Frank, everybody. Christiane,
Yes, sir.
You're
I don't know.
So let's talk about your boyfriend, Nate Soldier.
So yeah, right. Soldier kind of flatlined, you know. He had potential with New England. He got up there just flatlined. That's it. Flatlined. Overpaid, overrated, over
flatlined.
Zealous over everything.
Flatlined.
Anyway, Wheeler.
And Wheeler.
Mediocre at best. I mean, he didn't do anything for me spectacular either, so I would give him a D.
Gotcha. I'm not asking you guys for grades. I quit on that just a second ago, man. I quit. Banks. Soldier
hey,
Wheeler, man. That's
you,
all you got,
you
man.
That,
you don't know
nobody
three guys. You know it.
Hoodwink. Bamboozle. Let us stray.
Let us stray.
Yeah. Rule one in the NFL. Never pick up on a player that New England doesn't want to sign. That's the fact. That's two. Have you ever seen an armed robbery without a mask and a gun? Yes, you have. His name
I know.
Is Nate Soldier.
He's 6'8 and 325.
His name is Nate Soldier. He went into MetLife, went into the GM office, and robbed the New York Football Giants.
He was voted
without
the
a
team
gun
captain.
Or a mask. Like that Clooney movie where he went in with the note and gave the teller the note and was like,
yeah, out of sight, out of sight.
Yo, the dude is trash, basura. He's garbage. Come
he
on,
is,
let's think
man.
About it. In the AFC East, who's a dominant defensive line rusher? Name
nobody.
A pass rusher in the AFC East that's not on New England. Maybe one of the Jets?
It was the two cats on the Jets, and that was about it. You had Dominican Sue, but he wasn't happy in Miami.
Really
and
blocking?
I don't know what was on Buffalo.
Was he blocking
don't even ask me.
For 8 games. Nobody.
Nobody.
We overreached because we wanted a dude that went to that ended up going to Jacksonville. And we overreached.
Yeah.
Wheeler,
yeah, say that again. He better pay that money back this year.
He plug and play, but yo, sold alone F plus. For the money we spent and for the production we got, F plus.
What about Wheeler?
He gets a plus because he played the majority of the football game.
Okay, what about Wheeler?
Wheeler, he played to his talent level and he was a plug and play dude. He was an upgrade from Flowers.
Right.
Man, we really effed that up with Flowers. But,
you know what? That's enough for him. That's enough for Wheeler, man. I want your final thought in a minute, man. Forget about it.
Right,
forget about it. Yeah. We're done. We're done with that. Big O, give us something real quick on that.
Thank you with the Wheeler situation. Thank you.
Yeah, let's get off.
Yo.
Yeah.
Oh, this Biggs.
Yeah,
correct?
Go ahead.
Yeah,
so
man. Hey, man. Hey, bruh. Hey, Biggs said it, man. But I was just going to say before base, man, this was the biggest banana in the tailpipe by the Giants, bro, ever. We reached, man. We just got admitted. We reached. And, bro, this man was a total disappointment, man, especially the first half of the season. Total disappointment.
You were really kind there, man.
Man, totally. Man, bro, the reason why I'm being a little – my little man wasn't even up till y'all started talking about the tackles. Now he's up wailing all over the place, man. Soon he heard tackles, man. He got up and started crying and like, yeah, man, bro. That was the darkest part of our old line, man. You cannot pay somebody all that money, and that's the main side
Big
getting
O.
the most pressure. Like, I mean, he even made Flowers
Big O,
look
do you
good
have any idea?
Some games.
Big O, I gotta stop you, man. I gotta stop you. You don't have any idea. You have any idea how many sound bites you give us every time you appear, man? You're the most classic, bro. A big blue
bro.
Mystery. I love it, and I have to. I'm gonna steal that one, man. I'm gonna take that
bro.
One because it goes along with
this team,
one. It goes along
man,
with
this
one.
Team. So, I mean, well, I learned today another thing.
We still ain't past that, man.
Oh.
That's sad, bro. We still ain't past that, man. It's sad, man, but hey, it is what it is, man. It is what it is. But I'm telling you, man, if Nate Solders come out there this year and it's that same bull crap, man, that's it, man. We just gotta stay, eat it, man. We fell for the banana in the tailpipe, man. We fell for it, bro.
Yep.
I mean, we fell for it, man. That was sad, man. But you want me to grade those guys, man, Wheeler? They only get this grade because of Wheeler, man. They get a D-minus, bro. D-minus.
Wow.
Close to
so F. F. That's
terrible.
Okay.
Terrible, man.
All right, y'all. All right. I need 40 seconds apiece on final thoughts on your offensive line episode, starting with Jason, the definition of lit. Let's go. Jason? Hey, Jason.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, man. Yeah, give me a final thought, bro.
Hey, this was a great episode, great format.
You know what, Frank? Give me your final thought.
Final thought is we need to build off of, after listening to everybody, and I think we need to build off of Will Hernandez. And get rid of some people, obviously. Move them around. I guess an overhaul is not going to be the thing we need. But definitely build off of Will Hernandez and Halipo and see what he does. I don't know. Just go from there. That's all we can do. We got 3 or 4 years for this team is going to be playoff contention. If nobody doesn't believe that, I don't know what they can think. But you got 3 or 4 years or more suffering. So just be ready.
Got it. That's Frank, everybody. Kristen, what do you think?
I agree with that, too. I give it 2 years, though. I think we really gel. I think we give it 2 years. We're definitely, honestly, we just need work. We need work all the way around. Everybody needs to get comfortable. Everybody needs to mesh and feel comfortable with each other. The whole O-line has to be on point at the same time. That's it. Once everybody starts meshing and we start moving this machine like we should and everybody's comfortable with each other and they're relying on their brother next to them, then we're good. But we're not there yet. We need work, but we do have potential. I like Will Hernandez. You know, we do need work. Yeah, Solder has potential, but he hasn't given me anything. So it's like, I don't know. I'm at a loss, but. You know, give us 2 years. I think we're going. Honestly,
okay.
If we really just come
Fair
together
enough.
And we start meshing, everything will come together.
Fair enough. That's Kristen, everybody. Dee Bates, your final thought, sir.
Listen, I'm gonna be positive, far away, and the reason why I say that, with all the missteps, ineptitude, bad play, bad coaching, we were. Still in the majority of those games. We were still in the majority of those games. And the difference in 4 or 5 games could make us playoff contenders. So I'm saying this, if they can fix the offensive line, and when I say that, maybe Solder is a slow starter. He's been in one offense his whole career. Maybe he gets the playbook digested, and Hernandez levels up year 2. We get our center back healthy. We sign Jamon Brown, and we pick up someone for Wheeler, and let Wheeler be the backup. I think we'll be okay. If we could keep Eli upright or make it better, let's reverse that. If we can make sure we can run the ball efficiently, we can do play action, puts us in a better situation to win.
Got it.
Because the key to our offense now is 26.
Got it. Big O. Echo if you can. We close up.
Yeah. Well, offensive line, man, look. Again, they're going to gel, man. It just take time, and they're going to gel. I don't know about making it to the big dance in 2 years. I'm just being realistic. This league is far – we're far a little bit behind this league right now. For what this league is doing and the players that's getting there, we need to get it together. I just say that off. offensive line next year. I hopefully they can add a few more pieces. That I mean some hog molly pieces that will come in there and be threatening some jobs to get our offensive line to make sure they'll be on their P's and Q's. And I think that'll happen with David Kittleman. I think he's going to get some hog mollies in there, and we might see some one or two changes on the O line. But I think everything else is pretty solid.
Ready.
We was in a lot of those games, man. I'm not gonna go into detail, but we was in a lot of those games, and a lot of us that watched those games know why we lost most of them games. Lost those games. So pretty much, man, we're gonna get it together. We're at a time now where the Giants are changing and transitioning to a new team. So it is what it is, man. But hopefully, man, in a few years. We'll be back on top, man. But offensive line, man, they'll be all right. But this year, man, they were what they were, man. They was a mess. It was a mess, man. And it got a little right at the end. But hopefully, they'll get it together.
Well, you know, I gotta tell you, I have to just mention this. Considering what the line looked like, we covered it the entire show. I'm trying to figure out how Eli Manning finished with a 66% completion rate, the highest completion rate he's ever had in 15 years. He threw 11 interceptions, the third lowest he ever had. Well, it really is second lowest. You can't count his rookie year either because he only played 9 games. Okay? He threw 4,300 yards through the air, and he had a high passer rating with offensive line at 38 years old.
I'm going to keep it real with you. With that 66%, half of that was checkdowns. Just being real.
I know they're checkdowns. I know. But what else can you do? You know what? We'll figure this out on the next show, which you are going to call into, sir, after hunting down with your insight and line.
Now we giant talk. We giant talk. I can't
talk
about
nothing.
Now we giant talk. We giant talk.
We are. Thank goodness. Yes, we are. All right. Listen here. I want everybody to go ahead and try to download, all you fans out there, download the Bleed Blue Show on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher. You can go to bleedblueshow.com/podcast. You can listen. You can check it out on YouTube for all the episodes, not only the Giants, but the Yankees and the Rangers and Knicks as well, but hopefully mostly Giants because, you know, I'm a little prejudiced there. All right. And, you know, look, this has been great, man. This has been fantastic. We have some fantastic dialogue. Y'all heard the Big O and Jason and Bakes and Kristen and the definition of lit. Do their thing, do their spiel, and kick that real knowledge down. I appreciate that. We're going to do this again next week, 8 p.m. on the East Coast. Bleed blue, everybody. This has been wonderful. This is Professor speaking for everybody. Bleed blue to
what's
the highest
the
you
be?
Can possibly can. Appreciate
what's
you
topic?
Guys, man, and girls. Huh? I'm sorry.
What's the we picked up defense last week, offense this week.
Oh,
what's
I don't
be
know.
Next week?
Check out. I'll announce it on social media when I get back on it. You'll see it. But
all right.
Just show up. You'll be all right. Bleed blue, everybody. Take care.
Bleed blue.
Can you
bleed
dig
blue.
It? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.